Mass just along the road here on this beautiful afternoon. Great to be with you again. So what I want to ask you all today as I start is, are you a glass half empty person or are you a glass half full person? Now, that in other words, are you an optimist or are you a pessimist? Because as you know, an optimist says the glass is half full and a pessimist says the glass is half empty. An engineer, of course, says the glass is twice the size it needs to be. An optician says you both need glasses. So, here we go. Psalm 27. Psalm 27 read to us so well there by John. Is David a glass half empty person? I want to ask you this afternoon. Is he a glass half full person? Because on the surface, this Psalm 27 is David's triumphant, confident prayer to God to deliver him from those who conspire to bring David down. He publicly declares his reliance on the Lord and with faith to wait patiently for that which is sure. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? So let's take a little pause just there. Dread, fear. Let's think a minute about fear. You know, because a lot of the times we worry about how fearful we are. We dread things. And it drags us down, doesn't it? I dread this, I dread that. I dread the traffic this morning. I fear my battery won't start on the car last week, which Jeff Fox helped me with a battery charger. I fear, I dread, the car's going to pack up. And it's not something that's really helpful, is it? It's a big energy drain when you start to fear things, when you start to dread things. But please note, if there's one thing you take away today, it's that I don't want you to think that it's possible to live without any sort of fear. It's impossible to live without worries and troubles and concerns in our lives. I certainly do that, I'm sure you do too. But are you an optimist or are you a pessimist? Is your glass half full? Is it half empty? This psalm tonight invites us to believe again that our faith in God will never desert us, no matter what happens in our lives. Of course, as I said, fear is not possible. Life without fear is not possible. But faith can call us into life with God to reduce that fear in our lives. Courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage isn't the absence of fear. It's continuing to go onwards, even when you feel fear. That's what courage is. So this psalm we've just read is divided into two sections, verses 1 to 6, 7 to 14. The first section declares the power of God and the boundless hope that God will bring rescue and protection from his enemies. And the second portion has a clear shift in tone, if you like, with the declaration, I believe, I believe. The late Dr. Helen Rosevere was a medical missionary in Congo in the 1950s, and she lived in an old prison camp where she built a hospital. Endured being taken prisoner, she was tortured in civil wars, but she used Psalm 27, verse 3, to seek the beauty of God, to help her persevere. As part of her advice she gives us now, today, she says, here's one thing Christians need to know. One thing you should do, one thing we should ask for, to keep on keeping on. Mm-hmm. Keep on keeping on. You see, this psalm really is a metaphor for Christian life. This psalm is at once the language of David, but it also describes the church and Jesus Christ. The Christian scholar Tom Wright and his writings say there's two key messages coming out of this psalm. Look for him
and wait for him. Come on, seek his face, David says to himself. Look for him. Look for God. Wait for God is important. Not least because he was surrounded by difficulties. David mentions these, though he's not particularly specific, his difficulties. David's experience acts as a signpost to the fact that anyone who wants to seek God will still have struggles of various kinds. You can't help it, you're still going to have struggles. But this is the psalm you need. This is the psalm you need when those voices, those difficulties, those struggles become that bit too much. And you need to remind yourself where your real stronghold lies. Because there's an old saying that says, courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes courage is a little voice at the end of the day that says, I'll try again tomorrow. A little voice at the end of the day that says, I'll try again tomorrow. My two eldest sons, Luke and Isaac, very different characters. And as little toddlers, as youngsters, I took them to Redcar Pool to learn to swim. And they learned to swim in very different ways. Luke, the oldest, jumped straight in, splashed about, no fear at all. He was swimming away, glass half full sort of lad. Isaac, very different character, much more nervous. He checked all the angles of that swimming pool. He tiptoed in, weighed up all the possibilities, nervously edged into the water, entered the pool. But in the end, they were both confident swimmers now, because they both committed to swimming. And I wonder, as Christians sometimes, when we first learn about Christ in different ways, different characters, aren't we? Every one of us in this room is a different character. Some of us enter the water of Christian life, nervously weighing up all the possibilities, the theological angles, the doubts, the worries, and then we commit. Others jump straight in with a huge splash. Now I'm going to say there's no correct way to become a Christian as long as you eventually do commit. Are you a glass half empty or glass half full person? Because David teaches us in that psalm today that fear imprisons us. Fear prevents us from being the free people that God created us to be. Contrast fear with faith. Fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. During trouble, we can look at Psalm 27. We see the psalmist reverses the usual way of thinking. He begins with absolute confidence in God, doesn't he? The Lord is my light and my salvation. The first thought in any crisis, God will lead us. Now, of course, we have to assess problems as they crop up in our lives. We still have to take action. But the faith that Lord is with me enables us to use our resources to try and deal with those problems. The psalmist would say, though, that's only step one, your faith in God. In solving every problem, what you need to know is that God is your stronghold. God is with you. Then you can go to step two, which begins what we might call the practical solution of any problem that we face. We don't know what David's problems were in that psalm. We read of evildoers attacking him, and some scholars think there's mention of people that Hebrew figures of speech that of people that ridicule him or tear him down. We have a similar sort of figure of speech in English today, a backbiter, someone that says gossipy, spiteful things about you. David has enemies who want to tear him down. He had a lot of struggles in his early life, but he's not going to worry about those things because the Lord is his stronghold. And he says confidently, they shall stumble and fall. They shall stumble and fall. Listen, I'm going to... There's no point in me sugarcoating this about our lives today, is there? Life is tough for a lot of people today. A lot of people right now. We face uncertainty about the future. We live in an unstable world, don't we? There's wars, concerns. There's a cost of living crisis in our country. We see it at footprints every week in our food banks. Challenging times. Trust in our fellow humans sometimes isn't perfect, is it? My wife Sue, 10 years ago, had a trust-building exercise at Teesside University where she works. It's 10 years ago, she'd kill me for telling you this. But this trust-building exercise is day away. They had to have a team bonding thing. And part of one of the exercises was to walk across a field blindfold while your staff friends shouted out, left, right, to get across while you were blindfolded. She had to fill in an accident report after this, which I'll read out to you. My small accident was caused by me putting on a blindfold, following the left-right shouts and getting mixed up. I walked into a dry stone wall and bruised my nose. She's fine. You all ended up okay. But the trust in her fellow humans and staff was somehow not built up by this away day. Things don't always go well, do they, in our lives? Trust in other humans can sometimes be flawed for us. David in that psalm isn't putting on a happy face and saying, everything's wonderful, everything's going to wonderfully be wonderful and cuddly, everything's great and lovely. David is saying, have faith in God. He's confident because God is the centre of his life. The situation may be awful, but the Lord is in his stronghold. We sang a moment ago, didn't we? Praise is rising, we turn to you. Because when we see you, we find faith in the day. So what do we learn from Psalm 27 tonight? We learn that we're adopted by God, no matter who rejects us. Everything's going to work out because we've got him. Sometimes I wonder as Christians, I don't know if you ever have this feeling, that sometimes you feel we have to be perfect. We have to get it right all the time. Overnight. But we don't. You know, God's not nearly in the hurry that we are. So take time with God. That's my advice. Take time with God. You know, I'm so glad that I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to see God's goodness. Because some people, I think, get caught in a trap. Well, I'm just trying to make it through this life till I go to heaven. Well, I don't think that Jesus died so we could try to tough it out somehow and make it through this life, just to survive miserably every day. He died, I believe, so we could enjoy our life. So we could enjoy our life and have abundance in the full until it overflows. Because David in Psalm 27, verse 4, comes as a cool breeze almost to us on a hot day. I will sing, he says, and make music to the Lord. One thing I ask of the Lord, writes David, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my life, to gaze at the beauty of the Lord. I will sing and make music to the Lord. He faces struggle, yet he overcome his fears by placing trust in God. When we come to find the Lord, and when we come to love him, we find that our entire perspective on life, I believe, changes. We're able to love others. And that's when we begin to make a positive influence, I believe, in the world and the lives of others. If we can be a glass half full rather than a glass half empty person. In America, there was a set of twins. And one was very, very negative and one was very, very positive about life. So Mum suggested a little test. For their birthday this year, she was going to give the pessimistic child the very best racing bicycle money can buy and give the optimistic child a box of manure. When the day came, the pessimistic, grumpy boy was led to his racing bike that cost the earth and said,
Well, I'll probably crash it and injure myself and break my leg.
Because that's the way a glass half-empty person's mind thinks. They find something wrong in everything. But the optimistic young lad, he opened his box of manure, and after a little bit of a momentary surprise, he ran outside, looked around and said, "You can't fool me. Where there's that much manure, there must be a pony waiting for me." Yes, Psalm 27 is a cry for help, but ultimately a declaration of belief in the greatness of God. Light, space, zest. Zest, that's God, David says. David says, "With him in my side, I am fearless. I'm afraid of nothing. I'm heading for his place to offer anthems. Anthems that will raise the roof. Point me down my highway," he says. "Point me down your highway. Direct me along that well-lit street," he says. "I'm sure now I'll see God's greatness in this exuberant earth." Do you know something? Of the list of the billions of people that have lived on this planet, billions and billions of people, one person stands above everyone else for the influence they've had. More schools, more colleges, more hospitals, more orphanages have been started because of him than anyone else, Jesus Christ. More art, more music has been created, more humanitarian acts performed than anyone else. Even our calendar is based on his birth. Many of us here do outreach work motivated by Christian faith from Jesus Christ. Our Saviour had a ministry that lasted 3.5 years only. Centuries after his unmerciful mocking and martyrdom, billions have him as the stronghold in their lives. And because of that, billions have been able to face life and death unafraid. The atheist philosopher Bertrand Russell put it, "The older I get, the more nervous I became." In contrast, 2 weeks before his death, Pope John said, "My bags are packed already. I'm ready to go. Don't worry about me, because my bags are packed. I am ready to go." So as we close today, remember that there's nothing you can do that can separate us from God's love. God loves you, and that's all there is to it. We're all dealing with fears, yes. Difficulties, yes. Fear of the unknown. Fear of failure. The fear of being rejected, the fear of sickness, difficulties, loneliness, family and friends. But we can learn from King David's psalm today. Let's learn from that beautiful psalm. Nothing can separate us from God's love. God loves you, that's all there is to it. And let us learn to trust in God through faith so we too can stand strong. As we sang, he is the way maker. He is the miracle worker. He is working in this church in Mask. Even when we don't see it, he is working. He never stops. Why? Because God is our light, our salvation, today, this week, tomorrow, and forever. Nothing can separate us from God's love. God's love is with you, he loves you, and that's all there is to it. Amen.
Amen.